A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 199. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of more ghost stories for Christmas. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are again looking at this long-running British television tradition of having a ghost story at Christmas. It's a seasonal one for us here on British Invaders. We've been here before and we may come back to it again in the future. Last time we were talking about a revival of the classic title, A Ghost Story for Christmas. And we looked at the 2005 film, A View from a Hill, and the 2006 film, Number 13.
That's right, and both of those were dramatic productions of M.R. James' ghost stories. The stories of M.R. James are very much a part of the tradition of ghost stories at Christmas time in England, and in particular on the BBC. And in 2000, there was also a new set of ghost stories for Christmas in a series called Ghost Stories for Christmas with Christopher Lee. And those were done as a series of dramatic readings where Christopher Lee actually played M.R. James in full costume with period looking set and so on. For these four readings that also included some interesting things intercut with them.
That's right. So we'll get into them in more detail. As you say, the series Ghost Stories for Christmas with Christopher Lee. Four M.R. James tales, slightly abridged for television by Ronald Frame and directed by the appropriately named Eleanor Yule. That's Yule, Y-U-L-E. Filmed at King's College, Cambridge, where I guess the exterior shots were filmed, and then at Elton Hall in Peterborough, which I suspect is where they did the interiors of Christopher Lee as M.R. James in his rooms. And as we've said, Lee appears in the scholarly robes as James himself and takes his place in his chair with his colleagues and students gathering around him and around the fireplace, drawing near to hear his Christmas ghost story. And we're away from there, really. We have a slight narration giving us the setting, and then it's over to Christopher Lee himself.
Yes, that's right. And it really does a sort of recreation of readings that Christopher Lee might have given in his own rooms this way. And it's done at candlelight and has a real period sort of setting. It also, quite interestingly, uses a series of images that are intercut into the telling. So you see Christopher Lee as M.R. James telling these stories, and we have these images that we cut to that are sort of haunting images that are sometimes still images or sometimes have a little bit of motion in them. And actors sometimes appear in the distance, but never in close-up. They sometimes use images that are distorted through moving water. And it's all done with no dialogue.
Yes, and that does fit in very well with what we know about M.R. James's own readings. We know that he would basically have just the one candle and the fireplace were the only light sources in the room when he read his stories. And he would indeed have his students and colleagues sort of drawn near around him. And it was all done with just his voice. So having Christopher Lee do that pretty much here, apart from these few sort of slightly strange and disturbing images, it's very effectively done, Brian.
Yes, I think it is quite well done. And those images that they bring into it are very well used, I think, and sort of add a bit of television art in a very interesting way. There were four stories, all broadcast on BBC Two, The Stalls of Barchester Cathedral on December 23rd, 2000, then The Ash Tree on December 26th of 2000, Number 13, December 29th, and finally on December 31st, 2000, A Warning to the Curious was broadcast. So four different M.R. James stories, all in that last week or week and a half of 2000.
Okay, and as we've said, Christopher Lee, himself a fan of M.R. James, he's an inspired choice here. He doesn't perhaps look like James, but his voice is, of course, magnificent and does a great job of doing these sort of dramatic readings. And interestingly enough, Christopher Lee actually met M.R. James. He was interviewed by James for a place at Eton. I gather he didn't actually get a place, but he had actually met James when he was there as a provost back in the day. So, you know, there's a slight connection there. But, of course, he's a lifelong fan of James's stories. So here, it's great to have him here doing these dramatic readings.
Yes, he's perhaps not the first person you would have playing the role of M.R. James. But for this setting of doing these readings, it works very well. And he does a lovely job with it.
He does indeed. Now, you've mentioned there were four. What we're curious about is why the very creepy story, The Ash Tree, is not included on the BFI and BBC box set. We've just got the other three stories, and The Ash Tree, it's not up on YouTube. We can't find it anywhere else, and we're a bit puzzled, really, as to why it's not there, Brian.
Yes, that's right. So we've actually been looking at three of these four readings, but nonetheless, it's very interesting to look at them.
And as ever, if anybody out there among our listeners has any connections with the BFI and know why that fourth reading was not included, do get in touch with us.
Yes, that would be nice to hear.
Seaborough, on the east coast, a long seafront and a street, red cottages, church and distant Martello Tower to the south. I used to go there pretty regularly for golf in the spring. I would put up at the Bear with a friend called Henry Long, and we used to take a sitting room and be very happy there. Since he died, I haven't cared to go there, and I don't know that I should anyhow, after the particular thing that happened on our last visit.
So let's get into some of our own thoughts and feelings about these productions we've been looking at. Let's start with A View from a Hill, which we detailed last time. Eamon, what did you think of that production?
Well, as we said when we discussed it in the last episode, clearly not a huge budget for this BBC revival of the Ghost Story for Christmas series. So, you know, they're limited with their cast and with their locations. But they don't do a bad job. I think, you know, in terms of the look of it, and in a way it sort of reminds us of those 70s episodes, which tended to focus very much on one particular part of the country, a small cast discussing the strange goings on. So in terms of the sort of look and feel of it, it did remind me of those 70s versions of M.R. James stories, and I think that worked quite well.
Yes, it was definitely an interesting attempt to revive what they had done in the 70s, and doing it on location and choosing a location like that was absolutely the right choice, because that was so much a part of that, and using an M.R. James story that had not been used in the 70s, again, was the right choice. I think they did a nice job. In some ways, they sort of struggled to find their place with this. It felt ever so slightly awkward in some ways. But all in all, it's quite a neat little production, I think.
Yes, it is. I mean, I've mentioned that it does perhaps drop a large part of the story of Baxter, this strange watchmaker who's had constructed the binoculars that have caused all the problems. There's lots more about him in the story than there is actually in the television version. But instead, it gives us a chance to concentrate, I suppose, more on Dr. Fanshawe and the unpleasant things that start to happen to him. It is a ghost story. It's perhaps a very subtle ghost story in a way, because it relies on glimpses and moments and just this general feeling that something strange is happening to poor Dr. Fanshawe.
Yes, absolutely. Something worth noting, in the 1970s when they were making these, they worked through a number of the M.R. James stories for productions. I think they did at least 5 or 6 of them. And at a certain point, they decided that none of the James ghost stories that they had not produced were suitable for television production. These were ones that Lawrence Gordon Clark did not think they would be able to produce as television specials. So they moved on to doing a Charles Dickens story and then a couple of original stories. But in this sort of revival, they were actually making productions of these stories that they felt they were not able to do in the 1970s. So it's interesting to see that.
Yes, that's right. Perhaps choosing stories that were thought to be unfilmable in the 70s, but here they are having a go at them. And not bad, you know. And we mentioned the cast. I would point out that Pip Torrens is very good as Squire Richards. And David Burke as the butler Patton is very good indeed, extremely watchable always, and very good here, I think, Brian.
It's hard to go wrong with David Burke. He really does a good job. So that brings us to number 13 from 2006, which is an interesting one. I think by this time they were doing a better job in some ways of adapting it than they had with A View from a Hill. It felt a little bit more natural and a little bit more dynamic. And again, we have David Burke, who is very good, possibly even better in this one. And they have a nice dynamic to the cast and sort of nice use of that limited set of locations. So I quite like this one. What did you think, Eamon?
Yes, I mean, again, the same sort of restrictions apply. You know, limited locations, but very nice ones at Winchester Cathedral. A small cast, but they're all very good. Greg Wise, you know, he perhaps is more of a traditional handsome leading man than a typical bumbling Jamesian academic. But I think he does a pretty good job here, particularly of the sort of mounting confusion and sort of growing sense of terror at the strange bumps and noises from room number 13. Paul Freeman as the library or the librarian. It's a pity we don't have more of him in a way, I think, Brian, because he's another very interesting actor. We perhaps remember him best as the archaeologist Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark, but here he is. Shame he doesn't get a bit more screen time.
Yeah, that's true. But the performances here, I thought, really came through and brought some intensity to it. So that was nice.
Yes, and of course, David Burke, again, giving us this tradition of recurring actors in these Christmas ghost stories. And that certainly happened in the 70s. I think it was Clive Swift who was in a couple of them that we've talked about. But yeah, here he is, David Burke. We've got the ghost itself. It's perhaps a more visible ghost, and it's certainly, as we reach the conclusion, it's quite a sort of dramatic and tactile ghost, more than the subtle haunting of Dr. Fanshawe in A View from a Hill. But the effects work quite well, I think. Again, sort of limited budget, but scary stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And I think doing these as sort of these small, somewhat limited productions, which this was BBC Four, so that was often the situation. But I think that was the right way to do it if you were continuing that tradition or reviving that tradition from the 1970s. Doing sort of big, high-budget productions of these ghost stories somehow just wouldn't be the same.
Right. Okay, so number 13, 2006, we quite like the look of that one as well. And I guess now it brings us to talking about a Ghost Stories for Christmas with Christopher Lee, back in 2000. Interesting. What did you think of these, Brian?
I actually really enjoyed them. I thought they were well put together. Christopher Lee does a very good job reading them. And the imagery they added as these sort of intercut things, I think it was very well judged. I would not have wanted them to be too much more elaborate with lots of actors in them and things like that, or to take up too much more time. But as they were, it added something that made it a television production that was more than just someone sitting down and reading a story.
Yes, we do need that little bit extra, but in all other respects, the sort of framing device of Lee as James sitting down to read these stories works fantastically well, actually. And I think it's just the power of Lee's performance, the power of his voice and his skill at telling a story that works so well. Maybe it's down partly to the direction and abridgment as well, but it all seems to work marvellously. And so, yeah, they're quite splendid, the three that we've been able to see.
Yes, their use of music in them is quite nice as well. It just adds a nice little hint of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's dramatic and gives you that sense of sort of creeping unease and tension. And the stories we've looked at, Stalls of Barchester Cathedral, another version of Number 13, and, of course, one of the all-time favourite M.R. James stories, A Warning to the Curious, in particular, stands out as being, I think, quite a creepy reading by Christopher Lee.
Yes, I did find that A Warning to the Curious was the best of these three stories, and it comes down to Christopher Lee's reading, in particular, where the central character has to be a person who was really profoundly shaken by what's going on. And how Lee performs that in his reading is very good, and it really brings a sense of foreboding to what's going on in that ghost story. And that was something that worked very well.
So that's perhaps the pick of the bunch for us, I think, A Warning to the Curious. But the other two are very well done as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I suppose the only thing we can say against these Christopher Lee readings is that we haven't been able to watch the fourth one.
Yes, that's right. I've not seen that at all. And it would be very nice to take a look at it, for sure.
Yes, as I say, it's another well-known James story. It's very creepy and unpleasant, and we haven't been able to get hold of it. So if anybody knows, again, why it's not on the disc set, please get in touch with us.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that brings us to our recommendations. Eamon, why don't you start with this?
Well, I think it's fairly clear as we've gone along that we're fans of this box set. It's got almost an unending sort of supply of seasonal thrills and scares. So in terms of the overall box set, it's a clear buy-it recommendation from me here on British Invaders. Out of these particular productions, I think they're all worth looking at. I particularly enjoyed Number 13, the 2006 version, and I really enjoyed Christopher Lee reading A Warning to the Curious. But I think they've all got much to commend them. They've all got interesting things going on. So for me, it's a very solid recommendation. What about yourself, Brian?
I'm going to have to agree with that, because it is a great box set with a very good representation of this tradition of ghost stories on the BBC from the late 60s up until 2010. And these stories we've looked at today are all very good. They're all worth looking at. and the DVD set and these particular stories are good representations of that M.R. James ghost story for Christmas tradition, where you have people coming across things and stumbling into something that they don't understand. And the victims, as they were in these stories, are not people who are guilty of anything more than stumbling into the wrong place at the wrong time. It's that sort of thing. And it's a really interesting, creepy ghost story set of things that is very nice for that sort of seasonal tradition of ghost stories.
Splendid stuff. And please, BBC, can we have some more? Could they revive the series? We had an M.R. James ghost story from Mark Gatiss last Christmas, 2013. We haven't heard as yet if there's going to be anything similar on our screens this Christmas, but I'm hoping that Mark Gatiss and his production partner Damon Thomas, and maybe even Peter Harness, who wrote the version of A View from a Hill that we've been looking at here, he's still writing, so maybe he could produce some more. Certainly, I'd love to see that.
Yes, absolutely.
And while I'm on the subject of ghost stories on television at Christmas, I will also once again mention Mr. Jim Moon and his excellent run through the complete history of televised ghost stories for Christmas, which you can find on the Hypnobobs podcast. And I've put a link up to that and the particular episode. I think it's number 60. I've put that link up on the Facebook page. And if you're interested in M.R. James and his complete canon of works, I'll also mention another podcast I've been listening to recently, a podcast To the Curious, which, as the name suggests, is all about the weird fiction of M.R. James. Splendid stuff there.
Ah, very good. So, in summary, there is a long-standing tradition of ghost stories, and in particular ghost stories at Christmas time in the UK. And the BBC adopted this tradition with annual A Ghost Story for Christmas productions that ran through much of the 1970s and would come back in 2000 with Ghost Stories for Christmas with Christopher Lee, with these four M.R. James stories. And then again in 2005 and 2006 with A View from a Hill and Number 13. And these featured various characters, often academics, who would hear about a strange historical happening or historical character or item and pursue it and end up in often unfortunate situations in getting wound up with things. And these were spooky stories that would involve, with A View from a Hill, a pair of old binoculars and a specific area of the country with things that you could see from this particular hill. And in the Number 13, it was a hotel room where the hotel only had Number 12 and then Number 14. And in the middle of the night, this mysterious Number 13 would appear. And other different sorts of things coming up in the various M.R. James stories that we've been looking at that have been produced and televised on the BBC as full dramatic productions and also as readings with people like Christopher Lee and sort of interesting images cut through them, which help to continue this wonderful tradition of ghost stories at Christmas time.
All splendid, spooky, and seasonal stuff, Brian.
Yes, very good.
And please come back and join us next time. We're moving away from ghost stories. We're sticking with the BBC and we're looking at another one of their more recent attempts at what you might call a harder science fiction series, a show called Paradox from the year 2009, a show that didn't get a second series, and we will talk about that. Some interesting stuff to discuss there, Brian.
Yes, there's a lot of interesting stuff in that series for sure, so it'll be an interesting one. You can reach us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can find us as part of the Geek Culture Network at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. You can talk to us there, and we have lots of good discussions with our listeners, and we'd love to have you join us there.
Yes, do join us on Facebook, where, as ever, we're discussing New Who and also having the occasional prize giveaway. So do join us there, or come and find us in another community at vognetwork.com. That's the Voice of Geeks, an internet streaming radio show with all sorts of geek-related podcasts featured, gaming, comics, films, television, all sorts of stuff, and a community to get involved with there as well, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, it's Eamon in England urging you to turn off the lights, draw near the fire, and listen very carefully.